Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 election is upon us, and now is the time to fight back against the war on masculinity in American society today. Thankfully, the patriots at Chalk, C-H-O-Q, are here to help real American men maximize their masculinity by boosting testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for like 3 years now. It is incredible. They are here to help make American men strong again. Testosterone fueled again. Maximize your masculinity today at choq.com. Use the code Jesse for a massive discount on any Chalk subscription for life. choq.com, code Jesse. Limited time offer. Subscription cancelable at any time.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, builds specifically adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, and is working to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He has never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and we have a mountain to climb today. You and me. And when I say mountain to climb, I mean we have the highest class problem of highest class problems in radio, and that's that we have way too much to get to. What do we have? Well, I have a history story, and this is just a heads up. I'm worried this one's going to take me a while. I will not do a two-parter. I don't like to do those. But this one is really cool, and it's something people do not know anything about. So it may take me a bit. That's going to take a while. There are like five huge stories that we have to get to. One of them being, remember our pastor? Canadian pastor grew up behind the Iron Curtain. Pastor Arthur, remember him? I have what you might call a fairly significant update on his situation. We are going to play for you in the final hour the interview we did before with him, and then I'm going to give you the update on what's going on after that. We have emails. It's Medal of Honor Monday, where we honor one of our legends, and we have Michael Malice next hour. So I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get through this in 3 hours, but let's be frank. If anyone can, it's me. What, Chris? Gosh, it's Monday. Let's rewind a bit and let's go talk about communists versus America versus Britain. We are going to have a Cold War story for you today. And honestly, this probably could be described as the thing that really kicked off the Cold War. But before we can get to it, we have to do a brief, very brief, because you know plenty about it, and this is not a World War II story. We have to do a World War II setup just so you understand a couple things leading into where we are. First, from the American side of it. And all this will come into play at the end. Remember, I am a bit of a professional. I've been doing radio for almost 3 years, so I know how to tie everything back together. What, Chris? Operation Overlord. You know it as the scene where we're dropping airborne army guys behind enemy lines in France and fighting Germans. And let's just pause for a brief moment on that because we're not just going to gloss over that. If you have never seen Band of Brothers on HBO, I highly recommend it. I really would recommend you read the book, but I'm not going to be that guy. So just watch the show if you don't feel like reading the book. But I would almost want you to at least watch the beginning where it shows. I can't imagine the terror of being, you're in a plane anyway. If I were to put you in a plane right now and throw a parachute on your back, broad daylight with an instructor, no wind, it's all good. Welcome to Bob's Parachutes. We've been doing this for 90 years with no problems. Everything was state of the art. Everything was safe. Everyone made you feel, you know, warm and cuddly. If I were to do that, you almost undoubtedly would be scared. You might be scared out of your mind and not be able to do it. But there's no question about the time you step up to the door of that plane to jump out of it, your heart's going to be beating faster than 70 beats per minute. That's a fact. I can't wrap my mind around the courage it takes to get in a plane, take off at night with a weapon in your gear, and all of a sudden have explosions all around you. You're watching other planes with whole units get blown up in the air, and you jump out at night with explosions all around you, hoping to survive until you hit the ground. And if you happen to actually hit the ground alive, you're behind enemy lines with an entrenched professional military service hunting you down to murder you. That was Operation Overlord, when we dropped guys behind enemy lines to support the D-Day invasion. It's a great thing. But one thing you need to take away from it is this. This was us getting our feet wet, if you will, about air. What you can do with air. The men and materials you can get to wear with air. We're starting to learn at the beginning of World War II. We're starting to really learn. Wow. This air power might really be something significant. Remember, there'd never been air power used
in a major way in a war. Yes, I know they had planes in World War I, but they were garbage, and it's a totally different thing. All right, so let's set that aside. Let's go to the other part of World War II, Germany versus the Soviet Union. Again, this is not a story about that either, but you know the story. Hitler and Stalin, because they're both scumbags, had an agreement to split up Europe. They did for a while. Then Hitler decided there were way too many Jews in Russia, and he decided to invade Operation Barbarossa. He charges clear through the Soviet Union, eventually gets bogged down. The Soviet Union fights him off. But this is an important part of our story because I'm actually going to defend the communists a little bit today, and gosh, that hurts when I have to do that. The Eastern Front of World War II, Germany versus the Russians, Germany versus the Soviets, whatever you want to call them. The barbarism in that part of the war was just something that has not been seen a bunch in modern warfare. But the way the Germans would treat the Soviet civilians, the way they would treat the Soviet POWs, was just unspeakably bad. I mean, look, they're Nazis. You know, they had death squads with them and mass execution of prisoners and Jews and gypsies. And it was just really, really, really bad. An atrocious, atrocious war. And the Nazis were laying siege to huge Soviet cities and their citizens are starving to death in mass. I mean, picture just for a moment. You love the United States of America. Picture if if we went to war with China, they invaded America, and by the time the war was over, China had laid siege to Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, and killed half the citizens in those places. Do you think you'd harbor any bitterness? And then the Soviets fight back and fight back viciously. Because they lost 750,000 troops, millions of civilians. Well, I'm trying to get you to understand the scale of how bad and bitter and brutal and bloody the Germany versus Soviet Union portion of World War II was. It dwarfs every other part of the war. Now, you and I don't talk about it as much because they both suck. You hate them both. But it was death and poverty on a huge scale. We had a plan, too. Part of our plan was obviously the D-Day invasion, Normandy, but another part of our plan was to come from what Churchill described as the soft underbelly, go up through Italy and attack into Germany from there. Churchill turned out to be really, really wrong about Italy being a soft underbelly. We never really took Italy because it was so dug in and the Germans were so good at getting dug in. Finally, we're getting towards the end of the war. The Soviets are charging west, charging towards Germany, massacring every German citizen and soldier they can find. The assaults on women were unbearable. As you can imagine, the Red Army, they are taking out their anger about the German invasion on every German they can find, POWs and civilians alike. It is Genghis Khan level bad. I'm not going to go into the details of those, but just know there were stories on top of the mass assaults of women and death of kids. There were stories about people getting crucified against barn doors, civilian teenage girls. It was that bad. Where am I going with this? You're about to find out. And Medal of Honor Monday today. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Like a stain on your brain you can't get out.
Jake's Mint Chew is made in the United States of America, which I love. But I love the most that it's helping guys quit dipping and it's helping men and women quit smoking. You see, they have a bunch of different products. He has 11 different flavors of Long Cut, and I love that. But they have 4 different flavors of the CBD pouches. And what I'm getting, and I get these emails all the time now, is, Jesse, I'm using this to quit smoking. When I go take a smoke break at that time, I put in a CBD pouch instead. People are putting in these CBD pouches in their lip at work and at home. And what it's doing is it's getting them that fix and taking the edge off. And people are kicking bad habits. I love this thing. If you have someone you know who's trying to quit, get them some. Get them some. Give them a solution. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse at checkout. That gets you 20% off.
The Jesse Kelly Show, on air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the world famous Jesse Kelly Show today, and it's going to be such a fun day. I love our story today. All right, I've got to get through this setup before we get. Remember, we got Michael Malice next hour. We have coronavirus information, coronavirus and cancer. What are those two things? How are they linked? I'll tell you here in just a little while. And it's Medal of Honor Monday. Will we honor one of our heroes? But back to our story. Remember, this is not a World War II story. I just have to do the setup for you because it matters. We, meaning FDR, agreed at some point in time to let the Soviets take Berlin. Churchill, to his credit, was dead set against that. He said, Stalin is a bad guy. These communists are bad. Do not let them take Berlin. FDR didn't listen. FDR let him take Berlin. You can draw your own conclusions from that. And FDR had generals like Patton who were saying, do not let them take Berlin. And Montgomery, the great British general Montgomery, was saying, do not let them take Berlin. You don't understand. These Soviets are just as bad as the Nazis. Don't let them do it. But the decision was made to let the Soviets take Berlin. And let's pause here for a brief moment. I want you to understand something about the people in Berlin. One, remember, keep in mind, you have a lot of civilians, a lot of people in Germany who are not Jew-hating Nazis, okay? You have people who are just civilians. Women and children, mainly, now in Berlin, because the young men were off. Old people, women, children. They know the Soviets are coming. They are very, very aware by this point in time of the death and the horrible theft and horrible assault of women that is coming with this Soviet army. They're also aware the Americans and Brits do not conduct themselves that way when in combat. Yes, we are different, and you should be very, very proud of that fact. The worst news in the world. They were hoping, because they knew the war was lost. And even though they were ordered to fight to the last man and all these other things, they were hoping on hope that the Americans or Brits would get to them first before the Soviets did. Think about what that was like the day they found out that wasn't going to happen and the Soviets were on their doorstep. They are nasty. They are vengeful. We'd already been carpet bombing the city forever, us and the Brits. Now the Soviets finally get to Berlin, and they lose 81,000 men taking Berlin. It's a nasty fight for Berlin. They're bombing the city to rubble. It's toast by the time they're done. And it is, if people talk a lot about it, and I talk about this too, I would like to see, in kind of a sick way, I guess, I would like to see, at least briefly before it messes my mind up the rest of my life, the sacking of a city, an ancient sacking of a city, Roman sacking a city, Genghis Khan sacking a city. I mean, the truth is we saw one. That was what the Russians did to Berlin. You didn't want to be a woman there. I mean, you didn't want to be a child. You didn't want to be alive in there. It was really, 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 really bad. Okay, now, war is over. All right, that's where we are. Let's fast forward. The war is over. We, meaning us, Britain, the Soviets, and France, We now have to figure out exactly how we're going to tackle things. France, less so. We'll get to that in a moment. But we have to figure out how we're going to tackle things. What do I mean by tackle things? Well, World War II is very sexy, right? You've seen 1,000 movies about it. I've told you 1,000 stories about it, and I'll never get to any of them. I could only do a World War II show, and you'd never get to all of them. What's not sexy, what's not talked about enough is, what do you do when that kind of destruction is over? When the war's over, treaties have been signed, how are you supposed to conduct yourself then? Okay, we won. That's great. Wow, Europe is really not doing well right now. Should we do something about it? Should we help them? Should we take them over? And you're worried about what your friends are doing, let alone what your enemies are doing. Well, wait a minute. What's Britain doing? How much are they doing? We don't want to do less than Britain. Wait, what are the Soviets up to? We know we can't trust those dirty communists. The world has to sit down and essentially divide up Europe and definitely divide up Germany and figure out how to put the place back together, if we even want to put the place back together. What do I mean by that? Well, America, they took the appropriate lesson from World War II and said, well, World War II happened because of World War I, the way it ended. Everybody blamed Germany for the whole thing, and then we crushed the country, and then they were ripe for a tyrant to rise. I think now we should probably help them out. The war's over. They're crushed. Let's help them rebuild. Britain was absolutely of the same mind. Yes, let's help them rebuild. Let's get them back on their feet. Get them to be a thriving nation again. Bring them in. Let's do these things. There were two countries who didn't feel that way at all. One, a bit player in this story, was France. In their defense, France had just been invaded by Germany 3 times in like the last 80 years. Remember the Franco-Prussian War of the 1870s, then World War I, then World War II. By now, France wasn't exactly feeling like extending the hand to Germany. They were about done having this freaking neighbor, I'll tell you that much. So let's set the French aside. The Soviet Union, and I this pains me to say this, in their defense, in the communist defense, they didn't want a rising Germany again either. One, they wanted breathing room. They feared another invasion. And before you mock that, remember, the Soviets had just been invaded twice in the last 30, 40 years too. World War I and World War II. The Soviets get invaded a lot too. So Stalin wanted Eastern Europe. That's one. He wanted a buffer zone. I don't need these freaking Germans on my border anymore. I don't want them rising up. And two, vengeance is a powerful thing. You and I, Lord willing, will never understand what this feels like, but imagine looking at the nation you love and seeing 20 million dead Americans. 20 million dead Americans at the hand of the Chinese. That's an easy one to use. 20 million dead Americans. They invaded, killed 20 million people. How many wives, children, old people? Think of the heartbreak and anger that would spread through a society with the relatives and friends. 20 million dead Americans. And then right after the war, somebody comes and says, hey, America, sorry about those 20 million dead Americans and whatnot. We need you to come help us rebuild China now. Would you be feeling like rebuilding China? Again, I don't want to defend how Stalin and the Soviets conducted themselves now post-war, but they weren't exactly feeling like extending a hand to the Germans. They were feeling like, I really don't think there needs to be a Germany ever, ever again. I've had my fill of Germany. That is really what kicked off the Cold War and why, what kicked off what we're about to get into here in a second is, we just had different outlooks on how the rest of the world should look post-World War II. And when you have two totally different outlooks on life, you don't come together Hint, hint, wink, wink. We'll get back to that. And then, coronavirus came from China? No. We have three of these fine products in rooms we usually occupy. Their effectiveness is great. My wife has allergies, and the allergens in the air become less intense, and she breathes better without sneezing. The clean air aroma is wonderful when you enter the room. We sleep better during the night. That's one of pages and pages and pages of reviews I could read for you about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's not just me. This thing is so much better than any other air purifier I've ever used in my life. I used to wake up in the mornings and I would have tears dripping out of my eye on the side down onto the pillow. That's how bad my allergies were. Now, I don't even take allergy medication anymore. This thing is awesome. And he's right about the smell. The house smells so clean. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Jesse at checkout. That gets you $10 off. Jeff Bezos is building a $500 million yacht. You know, may not be the biggest Bezos fan in the world, but that is how you billionaire, everybody. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. It's going to be such a fun day. We have, did you see this about Walt Disney, Chris? What they're sending out with the critical race theory to their employees, telling them to reject equality. It's really getting bad out here. I will say this before I'll get back to this Disney story in just a little bit, but I'll say this. If you're a parent, you really need to adjust with the times and be very careful about letting your young one consume Disney. You do. You just do. It's not the Lion King anymore. All right. We have Michael Malice, remember, coming up next hour, and we have an update you are going to want to be here for on that Canadian pastor, Arthur, who came on our show, told us the communism was coming here. He grew up behind the Iron Curtain. We have an update on his situation. Okay, post-World War II, I want you, we could do all of Germany. We're going to focus on Berlin because that's where our story is today. The city is in absolute ruins. And ruins. You can see videotape of it today, pictures all over it. It's just hard to put into words. Picture any major city where you live, or it doesn't even have to be major, a city close to where you live, and that you live there. You live in it. Picture you live in it, and then you have nations from around the world dropping bombs on it continuously for years, and then you were just invaded by a hostile army. I'll put it this way. Berlin had over 80 sewer systems. You know, it's a major city. They had sewer systems. Not one of them was functional by the end of World War II. There was raw, open sewage running down the streets. I'm not trying to be gross. I apologize if you're eating, but it's just one of the things you and I don't think about, right? Basic water sanitation. And because of that situation with the sewage, disease was rampant throughout the city. Running water. I talk about this all the time, about how blessed we are to have endless supplies of running water at a faucet anywhere you turn. Well, they didn't have that anymore. There was no running water. You're having to find coal to burn and boil whatever water you can get. Oh, and the people are starving. Oh, and wait, it actually gets worse. The women in Germany. And you know, I'm going to be really careful about this, but what would you do? Whether you're a father or mother, whatever you are, what would you do to make sure your children could survive. They're staring up at you. Mommy, I'm hungry. What would you do? The answer for most people, if you're desperate enough, is absolutely anything. The Lady of the Night industry in Berlin post-World War II, I don't know how to describe it. It's not the lady on the corner with fishnets. It was every lady. It was married ones. Husband would send her off. And it gets actually somehow worse than that. It was, this is gross. It was children. The city became, because it was in such disrepair, the poverty was so bad, it just became like something out of a science fiction movie, Escape from New York or something like that, like a walled-off criminal paradise. Gangs, violent gangs would rise up. It just was, post-World War II, it was a living hell. And it was hard to get the world to care that much about it because, as you can imagine, the whole world was harboring some leftover bitterness from that whole Hitler Holocaust thing. So you're looking at these people living through hell, and you're not necessarily sympathetic to their plight, understandably so. I'm not saying we should have been, but I want you to get how terrible it was inside of Berlin. So the powers who won get together, and they decide this is what we're going to do. We're going to split Germany itself up into four different zones. That's who's going to control it while they figure things out. The British are going to have a zone. The French are going to have a zone. That was from Churchill. He thought that would extend a hand to the French who just had their butts kicked again. They didn't have a big zone, but he gave France a little bit of it. The Americans are going to have a zone, and the Soviets are going to have a zone. Now, Berlin itself was deep within the Soviet zone of control. You need to understand that for the purpose of our story. And we weren't going to allow them to have all of Berlin. So as part of this deal, we were going to split Berlin also up into four different zones. French zone, American zone, British zone, Soviet zone. But here's where we run into a major problem. Like we talked about before, the Americans and the Brits were here to get Germany back on their feet. Let's get them running water, working sewers. Let's rebuild the buildings. Let's put together communication again, transportation again. Let's rebuild a city that had been reduced to rubble. The Soviets were absolutely not there for that reason. They were there to expand communism, to make sure they had permanent control over Berlin. They were also there to punish the Germans and had no desire, and I mean zero, to see Germany rise again. How did they handle this? Here's how they handled it. Well, think about this. There wasn't a police force, really. So the Soviets, because they had Americans and Brits and French hadn't moved in yet, the Soviets really said, okay, all right, we'll do the whole split Berlin up thing. But then the Soviets went everywhere they wanted in the city and pillaged the place, absolutely looted it for anything that was worth anything to bring it back to the Soviet Union. It's a very terrible time. In order to get our zone, I will tell you, the Americans finally just flew troops in because the Soviets kept saying, no, we just flew troops in and started occupying things. And the Soviets said, oh, sorry, I didn't realize this was yours, and backed off into their own sector. So now you fast forward to the part where Brits control one part of the city and the Americans control another part of the city and the French, don't worry about the French, it doesn't matter. And our plan, in the Soviet defense, when they talk about the things America was doing, our plan was this. We knew the communists were expanding and wanted expansion. That's who the communists are. Don't forget, they don't change. We wanted to prevent that. Part of preventing that was we wanted to be better at rebuilding Germany than the Soviets were, not just for the German people, so the world could see, oh, look how nice and generous and awesome the Americans are. Oh, and these scumbag communists, look at how bad they are. We wanted to create that contrast. So we stepped in and stepped up, called the Marshall Plan, and started really rebuilding Europe and rebuilding Berlin. But how long are you really going to last with you controlling one part of a major city and the Brits controlling another part, even though we got along fine, and the Soviet commies under Joseph Stalin controlling yet another part of it? There's going to be a shelf life on just how long that relationship lasts. How are we getting goods into our part? Because remember, Berlin is deep within the Soviet-controlled part of Germany. Well, we're driving things in, and we're training things in, and we're taking things on in on barges. But the Soviets are, well, they're going to do Soviet things, aren't they? We'll describe those Soviet things, try to wrap up this story next. And prices are rising. I'll tell you what's coming. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
I understand it's hard to understand the importance of gear until you've had stuff fail on you. So that may be why I'm so passionate about it, because I've had stuff fail on me. That's why I'm so passionate about Northwest Retention Systems, because they have American-made custom gear there. Understand, I've had the stories I could tell you about my time in the Marine Corps, having bad gear and how it affected things, taping things together all the time. It was just a nightmare. It's why I obsess over it now. It's why, frankly, I probably spend too much money on extra gear now, gear I don't even need to make sure I always have top quality. And it's why when it comes to things like my concealed carry holster, I wouldn't even look at any place else other than Northwest Retention Systems. Go to nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com. Use the code Jesse at checkout for 10% off. Famous Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Don't forget, you can find me on social media at Jesse Kelly DC on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm also on Locals. Let's get back to our story here before we get into prices rising. Social media, by the way, is it a good thing or a bad thing? I have thoughts, maybe a little different than normal, as you may imagine. Okay, so we have moved in, the British have moved in, the Soviets have moved in, the French have moved in, and we've split up Berlin. We are trucking supplies to them. Eventually, they're getting ready to hold an election. The Soviets, because they're Soviets, start broadcasting anti-American things in the election, trying to have Soviet lackeys win the election. Well, the people in Berlin are unsurprisingly not that thrilled with the leadership under the Soviet section and really pleased with the British and American section. We are being very generous, although I don't want to act like we were absolute saints. Remember the whole women being forced to take extreme measures to take care of themselves and their families things? Well, there were plenty of American GIs and British troops who were more than willing to partake. In fact, I'm not going to dwell on this. Let's just say antibiotics were handed out pretty commonly to the troops at the time. It became a huge issue, like an army-wide issue. They had to approach the problem. So I'll just put it to you that way. Now, things are already tense. We're mad at the Soviets. They're mad at us. We're very clearly drawing lines in the sand and becoming enemies. Remember, we're about to kick off the Cold War, or we're in the Cold War, depending on how you want to look at it. The real problem comes with money. You see, another thing we didn't think about, we don't think about, what kind of money do the Germans have? What's it worth? Who prints it? The Soviets just decided to start printing it in mass quantities, devaluing it. Again, remember, the Soviets are only there to pillage Germany and control Germany. What do they care? And the Soviets wouldn't tell us how much they'd printed because we're trying to get things situated. And surprise, surprise, the communists are trying to destroy it. Well, this is really, really what kicks things off. I mean, there's tension all over that I'm skipping over. Soviet troops would come into the American zone and get in gunfights with the American MPs. The British, it's pretty cool, the Soviets would go get drunk and go to the British zone. The British would go find them and just beat them within an inch of their lives and then go chuck them back in the Soviet zone. We are at a tense time. And then it would be an international incident. The Soviets would cry foul. It would just endless tension. Finally, we decide, okay, this money situation is not going to, it's not going to be good enough. Boom. We're printing our own. We'll do our own. We'll create a separate money. Well, this totally screws over Stalin's plans. He wants Germany crushed. He wants them destroyed. And the Soviets say, absolutely not. You're not printing their money. We will cut you off from even getting in the city if you try to print your own money. And Stalin took a gamble here. He took a gamble that America and Britain would back off if he threatened to blockade them off from the city. No more ships, no more trains, no more trucks. You better back off or I will blockade it. We said, go ahead and blockade it. Do your thing. He does it. He cuts off the roads. He cuts off the power. He cuts off the barges. He cuts off the trains. Now we have control of these huge portions of Berlin and no way to get these people in these portions the supplies they need, not only to rebuild their city, the supplies they need to survive. When he cut them off, they had 2 or 3 weeks, they estimate, or the people would start dying. That's how much they had. We had to figure out something immediately. And the Allies, to their credit, came up with a plan very, very quickly. The RAF, the British Royal Air Force, and the U.S. Air Force, well, the U.S. Army for the most part, they mobilize and decide, wait a minute, we had Operation Overlord. We spent the last few years dropping men and materials from planes, hauling men and materials in planes. Why don't we just fly in everything we need? And they do. And soon, Stalin is stunned at what's happening. We are flying in supplies, and not only are we flying in supplies, we're flying out goods that are manufactured in Berlin to keep their economy churning and burning. We've got it going both ways. It started out, we're flying in 2,000 tons of stuff a day. Eventually, it works its way up to 3,000 to 4,000 tons of supplies a day. By the time we were done, this what it's called the Berlin Airlift, by the time we're done with it, 12,000 tons a day of stuff hauling in and out. Stalin even thought the winter would stop these planes. They didn't. And we only had certain routes we could take. We were by law, but the Soviets had to fly in one direction and out a different direction. And the Brits, too, there were actually mid-air collisions where the Soviet fighters would harass supply things. We're going to wrap this up, tell you what I'm talking about. Hang on.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball!
Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The Berlin Airlift, what a story. I'll just tie a bow on that for you in just a second and then tell you where we're going today. It's also Medal of Honor Monday. We're going to do that pretty quickly. Every Monday, we honor one of the heroes of this country for the man, for what he did, because remembering these men and what they did is important. It's not just a sentimental thing. It's important to remember them. Otherwise, it gets lost in time. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com is the email address. We have Michael Malice coming up next hour. We have an update on our beloved pastor, Arthur, in the third hour, and you're going to want to be here for that. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly Show. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It might be time for you and I, pointing fingers at me too, to cut ties with Disney. And I'll tell you why that wounds me so much, and why I'm sure it wounds some of you so much, but this is getting out of control. I'll get to that in just a second. The Berlin Airlift. It was a big deal. It kicked off Cold War tensions big time. It turned the volume on that up a bunch. Stalin eventually lifts the blockade, and that, you know how that turned out. That ended up in the Berlin Wall, East and West Germany, so on and so forth. But it did show the world the American way looks a lot better. And it did show Stalin we're not going to be pushed around. In case you're wondering, as a quick side note as I wrap this up, there were people within the American government, especially generals, as you can imagine, who wanted to storm the Soviet blockade militarily. I mean, but the problem with that was we didn't have enough troops in Europe to take on the Soviet Union, one, and two, the country was so exhausted from war, there was no way they were going to support another one. And they definitely weren't going to do it to help out the Germans, you know. But in the end, people who have separate values, separate cultures, people with different values, I have always believed and believe this to this day, they should not be living together. They shouldn't even be living right next door to each other, because you are just guaranteeing conflict at some point. There was no way. I understand in hindsight's 2020,
There was no way we were going to split a city, split a country with communists. It was never going to work because communists don't think like that. Freedom, this is one thing, and believe me, I am as tiny government as you can possibly be. But this is one thing, especially the libertarian portion of the right misunderstands all the time. You cannot, you absolutely cannot laissez-faire your way out of communism. You can't mind your own business your way out of communism. It doesn't work. Communism and freedom cannot exist side by side any more than a block of ice can exist by a fire. That's a fact. One of them must go. Period. It better be the communists. Let's talk about Disney before we get into, oh gosh, cancer and coronavirus. We have France, sadly, lost. Coronavirus. Mike Pence. The government growing. Before we get into that, into any of that, here's a headline from Breitbart.com. Walt Disney promotes critical race theory to employees, telling them to reject equality and strive for equity. The Hollywood studio is also allegedly telling employees that qualities such as timeliness and comprehensiveness help perpetuate white supremacy culture. Not making this up. I guess Christopher Rufo, our buddy Christopher Rufo, you know what? I'm going to get him on to talk about this soon because he's the one who broke the story. He obtained a whistleblower documents from Disney, from Disney's diversity and inclusion program. They have a name for it. They call it Reimagine Tomorrow. And he spoke to a bunch of Disney employees who said it is just absolutely racially horrendous. Horrendous. Another one, they're teaching their employees anti-racism. One is titled, What Can I Do About Racism? Competition, individualism also help to perpetuate white supremacy. I mean, the biggest rot of rot. This isn't about Disney going crazy. This, like everything else, is about me. Quit. Chris, what? Chris, all right, never mind. It's about you and me. I still watch some Disney stuff. I still look, those superhero movies, the Avengers, that's Disney stuff. I took my sons to that. They're still putting out new stuff out there. How can I keep taking my sons to that? Don't I talk to you all the time about being more purposeful with where you spend and don't spend your money? And this hurts, but I think I'm going to have to stop spending my money at Disney. And you know why this hurts? Let's go into why this hurts. So many of the things we should cut ourselves off from so we don't fund people who are destroying us, so many of them are the best things. Have you ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? Now, granted, there are lines, and it has all the same problems and annoyingness as most amusement parks. It's a well-oiled machine. I have never been on one. I'm told Disney cruises are well-oiled machines. I do know this. A lot of people don't know this. There's a vacation portion of Disney called Adventures by Disney, where they have locations all over the world, and you go basically with a big group. And they'll have everything laid out for you. Well-oiled machine. What I'm saying to you is this. Disney's not alone in this. It's just the example I'm using right now. Disney is out there selling really appealing products that make your life easier. That's what's going to make it so hard in the future, fighting the fights we have to fight. We have to be more purposeful about where we spend our money. Understand this. 70, 80 million, 90 million, maybe 100 million people in this country think like you do. You're not a tiny minority. What does it look like for the bottom line of Disney if those 70, 80, 90, 100 million people stop. Now, communists care about communism more than they care about profits, yes, but at some point in time, you're looking around. You're looking around and you're saying to yourself, okay, well, we're not going to be a company anymore if we don't stop this. And Jewish producer Chris is right. He said for more than just a single month, too. He's so right. We do this. I saw this. Don't feel guilty if this was you, but I saw this all over the place when the NFL was losing its mind. All of them kneeling for the flag, Drew Brees apologizing for the country and his skin color, and it was just terrible, right? And, I mean, it was universal. People on the right, I'm done with the NFL. I will not watch it anymore. Screw football. I'm not doing this. We're not standing for this. This is anti-American. I won't support these guys. About 2 weeks later, the same guy. Oh, did you see that pass? Oh, my gosh. What a catch. Last second field goal. God, the NFL's the best. How committed do you think they are to destroying the country? Now, how committed do you think you and I should be to not helping them do it? I will tell you, I have spent money, a lot of it, on Disney things, movies, and we went to Disney World and stuff like that a long time ago. I'm going to try the best I can not to do that anymore. And that's not calling out Disney specifically, although I guess it kind of is. That's with everything. Just because they make an amusement park better or a cruise better, they're destroying your country. Let's be more purposeful about it. And let's talk about social media next.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, Ryan. You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
Hollywood is under siege from external forces. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epic Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Jesse.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.